929-299-1269.
Welcome to the SDF conferencing system.
One other party is in this conference.
To join the conversation, please dial 929-299-1269. That's 929-299-1269.
There are two other parties in this conference.
There are
two other parties. Please stand by. Your party is hold for us. What the heck? At a time of rapid technological change in the electronic music industry, it is important that the use of advanced technology means more than adding confusion to the musician's creativity. I'm trying to be Publius here. I'm probably not that good, sorry. Anyways, bear with me. Bear with me, sir. Bear with me. That's why Sequential Circuits uses a powerful internal computer in the design of the Prophet. The Prophet, the industry's first completely programmable polyphonic synthesizer, provides unparalleled ease of use while retaining the sophistication required by the most demanding synthesist. They have no idea that there's going to be Eurorack enthusiasts. But anyways, I will continue. It is available with either 5 or 10 voices, each voice consisting of 2 oscillators, a noise source, a VCF, voltage-controlled filter, and 2 4-stage envelope generators. The voices can be controlled by either the front panel knobs or one of the 40 programs stored in storage, like my storage locker, or how are you storing the programs in the synthesizer. The synthesizer comes with all 40 patches pre-programmed so that you can use the machine while you become familiar with it. You can, of course, replace any or all of the patches with your own individual sounds. I'm reading the promo card. It's not a brochure. It's just a flat, almost like a poster for the Prophet 5, and I will post a picture of it on PixelFed. I think it would be very interesting.
Open
and
VoIP
it is a
929-299-1269.
Not a Rev 3. And even here, they are saying it is available with either 5 or 10 voices, which is pretty damn early on for the Prophet 5. Or what?
There are 3 other parties in this conference.
Holy heck.
Greetings.
Oh, it's you. No, how are you, gentlemen? All of our base are belong to us. No, I was just reading about the Prophet. It's just called the Prophet. It's not called
Prophet.
The Prophet 5.
The Prophet. No number is required.
No, because they originally had two models, the 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I don't know what the other one would have been called. Anyways, model Prophet 5 and Prophet 10. Both of my Rev 1s have, one of them at least still has the plastic standoffs for a second voice board, and then the other one just has a second header on the digital board for a voice board. So,
right, it's not fully populated.
No, they're both missing the second voice board.
Right, but one has the standoffs as if it was a regularly upgradable feature, so that they would probably put it in there, slap it in there on specific order.
Well, they only made a very small number of tens, but a single manual tens, I should say. But the this one's serial number 74, so it's kind of suspect that a serial number 74 would have been a Prophet 10, but I got to work on John Bowen's serial number 9,
number 9,
which he sold to a Japanese collector for like $10,000. I got to work on it for him, though.
Yeah.
I think I probably would have been better at fixing it now than when I first looked at it. I know their quirks a little bit more.
Sure.
Anywho, this is a very neat
promotional handout?
Yeah. I just happened across it, and I'd never seen it before, so I thought I'd get it. And thankfully, someone, it's coming from a collector, so it's it's actually on cardstock.
Right.
But it's got a backside I want to look at, so I'm opening it up so I can see it. And this was also one of those things that I watched it on eBay, and then suddenly eBay decided to throw me a discount. Hey, do you want $5 off of this thing, or $15?
Look, let's close the deal right now.
I was like, yeah, heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, I think Christio Twisty's going to call in. That's why I got on.
She is in comm at the moment.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
So perhaps she will call. The number again?
Oh, there she 929
is. 929-299-1269.
Yeah, from your touch-tone phone. Or your rotary dial phone. Your preference.
Provided your telephone system can interpret your rotary.
Oh, cool. So on the back, there is the first two sequential circuits products, the Model 800 sequencer and the Model 700 programmer. I think the sequencer was just TTL to program stages, but...
Mm.
I might be wrong. Why don't I just read the card? I used to see them around. There are not many of them made. It can store up to 256 notes.
Woohoo! Why would you ever need any more?
Different sequences. It's designed for little sketches and being able to play them back in a recording studio. That's very cool. I used to see those show up every once in a while, and I was thinking, I should get one. And I was like, nah. No, I don't see them at all. And then the 700 programmer is designed to work with modular synthesizers, so Eurorack enthusiasts probably don't want it, but they probably would use it.
Right. They probably want the sound, but they don't want the device.
Well, the programmer it just sends control voltages.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It stores
that's true.
Control yeah. voltages. So that's it's got. So this one probably does have a CPU and memory because mm-hmm. it's storing all those CVs.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the.
Well, it could be just a simple counter and serial memory for all you know, right?
Yeah, but Dave was working for Xerox at the time. So
right, and probably didn't have that, serial memory was not quite that common, and of any significant density, you would probably have to, basically, if you wanted a serial memory, you probably had to make it out of static RAM or later dynamic RAM, right?
Let's see, 929-299-1269 is the direct... That is the direct number to dial.
The hotline.
The other number, 299-216. No, that's a different. That's
206-299-21.
That will route you directly to the SDF Collections Department.
Yes.
299-2169. Yes, your call is very important to us. I'm going to search. Sequential circuits, model 700, programmer schematics. Operations manual.
Right.
Schematics. Here we go. I've never looked at these before, so it'll be curious.
In education.
There's a bunch of CMOS. 4051s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I smell a Z80 somewhere in here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's RAM chips. Okay.
Or an 8051, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could use. He could have used something. This is Dave's design. So.
Right.
Frickin' hell, where is it? Is it a 4004? Why
really?
Not? God.
Where would you source those from?
Intel?
Well, I mean, you probably wouldn't be able to buy them directly from Intel unless you were going to buy them in serious quantity.
I don't know. This
you would
is
figure by the 80s, though.
This is 1976.
Oh, 76?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay, maybe. But still, nonetheless, it's like it would be interesting to know where he was actually buying them from.
It's in San Jose. I'm sure that there could be places down the street.
Sure.
Anywho, there's that. Maybe I can know. I looked out with that. These are actually hand-drawn schematics too. That's nice. I will save that just in case I think I actually did
there
get...
There are four other parties in this conference.
Hello, welcome.
Hello.
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 There are five other parties in this conference.
It's going crazy now. Blown up.
Oh, I think I found out what the problem was. I had to dial one before the number.
Oh. Welcome, Christy Otosti. This is SMJ. It's nice to hear you and talk to you.
This is Canada calling. It's great to be online and to talk with you, too.
Is this an international call for you?
Yes.
This is Canada calling.
Kind of. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I hope the rates aren't too high.
No, it's fine. I'm actually on Metro PCS, also known as... T-Mobile, and I've got a Canada-Mexico little surplus, so it's fine. I'm not getting charged by the minute.
Well, that's convenient. There's all those sorts of sneaky packages, that, between BC and Well, let's say Surrey and Blaine or Vancouver area.
There are five.
Yeah, actually, the Fraser Valley Regional Library did tell me that they have some sort of reciprocal agreement with the Whatcom Library System. And, you know, Bellingham and Blaine are all in Whatcom. And Delta, White Rock, and are in Fraser Valley.
Cool. That's very convenient.
Yes.
Well, and I've been really enjoying your DJ sets, especially, I don't know, just it's always really surprising good music, interesting music, stuff I wouldn't normally hear before.
Yeah, exactly, stuff one wouldn't hear before.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, not in this millennium.
Well, I'm just trying to think, it's like, where can you get... Where's the best place to get exposed to new music? And it's by just listening to what other people are listening to or what they want to play.
Usually. Yeah, well, my music's like around like 100 years old or 80 years old.
Well, at least
as far as stuff like what gets excavated.
I gotcha. Okay. So you probably have between you and your late significant other, sorry, again... you probably have extensive music collection.
Oh, yeah, especially him. I've been trying to get my son to catalog the things, and I don't think he's going to do it. I think he was probably waiting to be prompted for everything. Like, you know, here is a template for cataloging. Maybe to help raise some funds for, I don't know, either lottery tickets or deeply, deeply discounted hospital bills. I can try cataloging them myself, and then I'll post them on the for sale.
Oh, wow.
For sale topic in the bulletin board.
Gosh. What's your estimate on the number of, is it mostly vinyl records?
No, I'm not. Regrettably not. One of the things that I am going to auction off, I think, as soon as I knuckle down and get an eBay account, is a pair of clean, never-used Joe Boxer shorts imprinted with Eric Idle as sort of promotional swag, because you know, he appeared at the Paramount like eons ago, and I happened to meet Eric, and I said, look, can you sign these for my husband, and he did, and we saw his performance, and it was great. It was around just at the time that Paul McCartney was knighted, so there was an appearance by Sir Dirk McQuickley.
Wow.
I might try to auction that off, and mostly my husband's got all the CDs, and he got rid of most of the CD flimsy covers, and they're mostly in sort of CD-ROM jackets with the covers on them so I can identify them.
Oh, just to reduce the storage footprint?
Yeah. Eventually at some point I'm going to go down to the storage locker.
Oh.
He's also got some more gaming stuff, and this is the difficult thing, is because I cannot cross the border.
Mm-hmm.
My son can't really, well, he can cross the border. He would get in big, big trouble coming back, as he did that in March. But otherwise, I would have him go with a little wagon with all my husband's fantasy war gaming stuff and packaged up and labeled and say, hey, why don't you walk a mile down to the Point Roberts post office and ship these off to your cousin?
Oh, gosh. Is it
any word on when they're thinking about reopening the borders, if they are thinking of reopening the borders?
They are thinking about it, and I know they're thinking about it because dates keep getting pushed around, is what I hear. There's some question that whether people who aren't fully vaccinated would be welcome over in your side. And last time when my son did this in March, he needed negative COVID-19 tests. And he was in Point Roberts for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
30 minutes of that was walking to the post office, and 10 minutes was no customer post office.
Yeah.
And, well, he didn't tell the border people this, but actually somebody was just so darn glad to see a Canadian that he got a ride back to the border.
Wow.
And then he spent 40 minutes at Canada Customs, like, what do we do? What do we do? And I am this close to writing a letter to the local paper and say, look, my son had to be quarantined for 10 minutes in a no-customer area. So you guys who are shopping with the other people, don't think you're safe because just because you're wearing a mask because you're in a more populated area for longer.
Yeah. God, that's crazy.
Yeah, they could have just said, well, yeah, you've been there for, what, 10 minutes, and just let them go.
You had no contact with anybody. You just dropped a parcel or whatever. And
right.
Walked
but
back
to the Canadian Border Service Agency, this is exactly the same as being on a cramped commercial airline for 5 hours going to Disneyland.
Right.
Same amount of exposure. Because, you know, all those viral aerosols are just hovering on the 49th parallel.
Well, I don't know when the end will be in sight, or when the border will open. No crystal ball there. I did get work-related information that even though I'm phase one essential worker or whatever, the rest of the office is not coming back in until next year.
Oh.
So I get to
what does that mean for you? Like,
so mean
clothing optional, wardrobe?
No, it means that I still have to commute and still go in and do stuff, which is fine with me.
Play ping pong with yourself during work, during your break hours?
Probably joust, but, yeah, part of my job is very physical and mechanical. You know, it's not like I can sit in front of a computer all day.
Sure.
It'll fall over on top of me. No, I'm kidding. It's yeah, it's more moving around, lots of moving around and doing stuff. So I'm happy with that. Since I have been, even though I was in Japan for quite a long time, even before that, with the traffic just being dead, that was pretty cool to be out there. It was almost like Omega Man, you know, the movie. Because, you know, at night all the zombies come. No, you know.
Oh, so you were going across, like, Washington and stuff like that? That kind of commute?
Zooming. I was going up to Arlington, actually. I was just up in Arlington yesterday, in fact. But quite a different commute now, so traffic is picking up.
People are back on the roads.
Yeah,
and
oh my gosh, they are not happy drivers at all. I have not seen...
No, a lot of road rage, I read.
Yeah. Holy cow, I can't believe how angry and aggressive the driving is. It's like, you know, even before, if I ever encountered someone who was aggressive, I just kind of like, okay, I'm going to get out of your way. You know, but now it's like, oh, crap, they're coming after me.
Yeah, my husband had a commute up to Everett, so he'd always be going against the heavy flow.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, I bet, well, depending on the time of day, that northbound traffic can just be really bad on I-5.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, yeah, yesterday when I was coming back, I think I was coming back from Arlington about 3 p.m., and I swear it was, let's see if I can think about where I saw the traffic pick up. I know it was probably Marysville, where it was starting to get really heavy, and then it was just like all the way down into Seattle, the whole way. I was like, where are the accidents? I don't see any accidents. It's just
the whole city is an accident. The whole highway.
Well, you lived in Washington.
Accidentally stuck.
I did. I lived in Seattle for 20 years, and I lived in Shoreline for about 2.5.
Okay. Was that toward the end of your stay in Washington?
Well, the end of my stay was 2 months in Bellingham, the 20 and a half years I spent in the 98125 zip code.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, well, it was in the last affordable neighborhood in Seattle.
Oh, what is the last affordable neighborhood? Because I have...
Mine.
Oh, okay.
No, like Northgate and Pinehurst and
yeah.
Lake City and stuff.
I was going to say Crown Hill, possibly. Crown Hill is also a somewhat cheap place still.
So you guys must be very close to the end of restrictions, right?
Well, I mean, the state was supposed to open up July 1st. And so, like, full capacity restaurants and movie theaters, all that sort of stuff. In fact, one thing I did notice today is that there are a lot more event posters on telephone poles now. Before, it was just kind of like... Which is typically years of... Or not years, maybe a couple of years of events. And... Because they don't tear them down. They just staple
over
the
top. Yeah, they just
paste
over. Yeah.
And although every once in a while someone will come across and just, like,
tear everything down.
But I, unfortunately, I thought, oh, man, this is a great time to go take a bunch of pictures of the telephone poles with these rotted, weather-worn posters that are just unreadable. Just like almost like a collage.
A palimpsest. Yeah.
But this morning I missed my... opportunity because I was noticing this morning, it's like, oh crap, there's like five or six events someone stapled up. Yeah. Oh, and on that one now, can't do it.
Well, that being Capitol Hill, I can't imagine polls being devoid of posters.
They were. Totally
there must
were.
Be like 2 decades of, well, not 2 decades, 5 years worth of posters.
Who knows? It's like, I've seen like cleaning crews or whatever, city workers clearing off the poles, but I've not that often, you know? And it's just like, there probably was a bunch, some of Red Martian's shows are probably under there, but
at the Panama.
Or at the Comet. But yeah, that's the thing is, like, none of the taverns or, you know, places where there would be live music, even like the large venue or medium venues, I should say, like the larger ones, like the Moore and Paramount, had no shows at all. It's like they can't do anything. It's quite sad, but it's changing, so we'll be like...
Yeah, you guys are opening a lot sooner mm-hmm. than we are. On July 1st... Oh, it might not have been July 1st. No, it was, I think, July 3rd. I was driving back from North Vancouver after gallivanting with a friend, getting our UVB rays and stuff like that, and I made my normal turn off the highway, and there are the police. And I think, oh, there must be an accident, because there are several of them, and they've got their cherry bars flashing, and they're standing, and I'm thinking, oh, did a bad guy go in here? Are they doing a stop or detour or what? And no, they were doing drinking driving counterattack, because the bars had just opened maybe 2 days before Canada Day, and they thought,
well... You've got to make up a revenue.
Yeah.
public safety, what's that? It's all about revenue.
Wow.
Right, because it was, well, it's Delta Police, and not really a whole lot happens in Delta. Mm-hmm. And if you, it's, I wasn't going down a highway or anything. I was going down a rural road to get to my place, and not really where I would expect to see them. But my friend told me they're, not only are they bored, they're somewhat
open void
cunning,
929,
and in they figure that people would probably veer off onto the rural road to avoid a counterattack roadblock, or, you know, breath check on the main roads. And this way they could get the people who thought they'd be stayed out with the police.
Oh my gosh. That's so sneaky. So, but, were you guys did you get pulled over?
Well, they pulled, everybody had to stop.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it was a roadblock. Everybody stopped.
Yeah,
like, you could not
stopped.
Pass unless you could convince the police that you were sober.
So, did you convince them?
Of course.
Oh, okay, that's good. No, I'm calling from the phone at the jail.
I'm calling from the jail. Yeah, can you put up a GoFundMe? Aside from the GoFundMe for my husband's cancer hospital bill.
Holy cow.
Anyway, I'll tell you what, this is funny. This happened today. I was checking my emails, and it turned out that my U.S. investment firm, which got an office in downtown Seattle, they closed an account. And I thought, oh, because they had closed one of my taxable accounts. And I thought, this is a surprise to me. I wonder how many accounts that I don't remember opening with them. It turns out that it was my son's Coverdell education savings account that they closed. And they closed it for this reason. We have, as you know, a Point Roberts post office box, which we cannot access. Now, the nice thing is that some of my husband's cancer treatment bills come to that mailbox, and it's a small post office, and you can bet that many of the people who rent post office boxes there are Canadians, so many people are not showing up unless they're dual national, like my son, who is deputized to go answer my mail or pick up my mail. Anyway, what they do, what the post office does, because they don't have the room to hold a year's worth of hundreds of post office boxes, they've been returning mail as undeliverable.
Right.
So my financial accounts are, like, frozen, and I have to call and talk to people. And one of them, I changed my address to Canada so I could start getting statements. And they said, oh, well, we can't have out of the country clients anymore.
So I emptied
my kid's college account, but he's getting the money eventually.
Is this an account
I know this.
Before 9/11?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, actually,
right.
3 months before 9/11.
Oh, holy cow!
June 2001, because my kid was born 3 weeks after 9/11, and I was working at the time, and I thought, you know, I will just walk on down to, I guess it was called TD Waterhouse at the time, and just open an account.
Yeah, you know what, they did close that branch in downtown. I can confirm that.
Aw, they closed the one in Bellevue, too. That happened while I was living in Seattle.
Well, yeah, when I came back from Japan, I had a similar situation with, they didn't close an account, but they had locked the account, and I needed to call them and say, no, my address didn't change, it's just my holiday hold expired.
Expired holiday hold. I'm on holiday up here in Canada until I can walk across the border.
Well,
I have to go. Sorry.
Your
I was going to say.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say that I still have not yet gone to my husband's prior workplace where he's got a sizable pension. And I thought, you know, maybe I should try contacting the places where I have a pension. I can keep my Roth IRA, my 401k, my 401k rollovers. But now my son's Coverdell ESA, can't have that. My taxable account, can't have that. And I've got to go get, I would really like to get hold on my husband's husband's 401k.
Well, if you are the beneficiary,
then it's just a matter of going through going through the necessary paperwork.
Yeah, you should do that.
I should do it. Now I've got a phone number, and my constant companion is a fractured wrist, so he's not saying, "Hey, let's go climb mountains today." So that gives me some time. I can call these people and have 90-minute conversations. 60 minutes of that is verifying my ID.
Sure.
I can read Cryptonomicon. I was going to wait until I had finished Cryptonomicon before calling, because I am 42 pages away from the finale.
Okay. Please hold. Good.
I'll read it aloud. Non-radio, I'll just get a microphone and my screen will be the last 40 pages of Cryptonomicon.
Just read a random 10-page segment and let people scratch their head.
Oh, no, no. I will read off letters and numbers like a one-time pass. Hey, guys, use your secret decoder ring. And you, too, can find gold in the Philippines.
All right, I was going to ask, so your son has dual citizenship, but are you Canadian then?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Your husband was American?
Yes.
Okay, now I got it. Okay. I was trying to figure out what the puzzle was, but it's a very simple puzzle.
That's right. That's right. My husband was American. I am Canadian. My son is dual national. It depends on what circumstance and his mood.
Yeah.
You ask him what citizenship he is, he'll tell you.
I'm a lawless pirate.
Was he born in the U.S. or in Canada?
Yes, he was. He was born in the U.S. He was born at Swedish First Hill.
Oh, okay.
And I know you know where that is.
I know exactly
on Broadway.
Where that is. Yes.
Uh-huh.
I'm reminded constantly, almost every 11 minutes, by the sirens of the ambulances delivering people to Harborview. So I know where Swedish is.
And the helicopters sometimes.
Yes, those are great.
Well, Delta Hospital does not have a helicopter, but.
Oh.
My son had, in 2019, there was a federal election, and there was, I guess, they've got these annual elections. You know this, it's like for smaller things like county council and school board and stuff like that. Yes. So my son was a two-fisted voter, and he registered to vote pretty much. Well, I think on his 18th birthday, I took him over to Elections Canada and said, okay, if we're registering you, you're going to vote. And he thought, oh, this is great. Greatest birthday present ever.
Oh,
and then he would go to Point Roberts and he'd have his election sheet. I'm like, okay, Dad, let's fill out our forms.
Huh.
And he got to vote in the last election, too, in 2020.
Okay.
We had a provincial election then, too. So, again, he was a two-fisted voter.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
I know. It's like being a double agent.
I know, or diplomatic immunity or something. I don't know. It's like some kind of special thing.
Well, yeah.
He has two passports. He just whips one out.
He does. And sometimes he needs
them. Depends who you want to slap aside today.
Until, you know, I sent him to the liquor store enough times where they recognize him on site. But before that, he would have his U.S. passport and his B.C. passport, and they'd look and say, oh, wow, you're a dual citizen. That's really cool.
I got a question. Go ahead.
Yes.
Finish what you were saying.
Okay, I was going to say, in March, on his trip to the Point Roberts post box, you know, he walks over, because it's only a mile down to the post office, and the U.S. Border Patrol are being very chill, like, oh, hi there. He says, hi. And they said, so, you're American? Yeah. You got any ID? Oh, yeah. So he just flips the ID, and I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just going to go check the mail. Okay, bye.
But then coming back.
Yeah, about 40 minutes, and then a call to, like, he was back. We caught your son trying to cross into the border. Well, he's Canadian, you have to let him in. No, he needed to have a negative COVID test before he went down.
God.
Well, nobody told us this.
Oh, my God. Holy cow. Yeah, that's...
Well, he spent about as much time with the Canadians in that little crowded room that he did in the entirety of his trip to the United States. And it's like, well, can you come pick him up? And yeah, I could. I was a 20-second drive away, because there's a point where you can just park and wait. I mean, I'm sure the Canadians knew I was there, but I was just sort of, like, chilling out, reading, and like, what happened to him?
Don't tell me he got lost. Holy cow.
Couldn't find his way back to the border.
That was the question I had. I mean, if you're actually doing proper border crossing, I would imagine that you can only when you get your stamp, you only get one in one passport, so you only present one passport. Is that right, or does he have to present both of them?
No, he only had to present one. You know, if he's going to the U.S., they want to know he's American, and if he's going to Canada, they want to know that he's Canadian.
Right, but. Okay.
But there's a point of origin that the problem is if you're in Canada and you show your United States passport to get into America, your United States passport gets stamped, and that's the one that is sort of recognized as what you've crossed under. And then if you return and you present them with your Canadian passport, they kind of get upset about that.
They'll want to see where did you get your visa for your trip in the U.S.
Yeah, I had a fun time with that. I had a green card, as you know, because I was Canadian living in the U.S. And I had, of course, my green card and my passport with me. And I had gone into Canada, and I was coming back, and I thought, you know, I'm really bored showing my green card all the time. I'm just going to show my Canadian passport instead, because I can. And they look, and they scan, and they said, you've been away quite a while. Well, no, I was here for 3 hours. And they said, no, 9 months.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong ID.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tricky. I know that if you have a green card and you're out of the country for extended period of time, it can be a little tricky. Not always. I mean, if you have like a real reason, but if you're just not living in the country anymore, you kind of jeopardize. That, but
if
that's
you're not living in the country and you present your green card, you kind of have to go in and they're going to ask you, you know, like, why didn't you surrender your green card earlier? Well, I didn't know I'd have to. I thought I would just go down to Seattle, hang out with some visiting friends from Germany, and then I would drive back to the border and say, here, you guys can have my green card now. It doesn't work like that. They detain you right there.
Yeah. Well, I think I've had way more difficulty getting into Canada than getting back into the U.S. Going north.
Me too.
Really?
like
I,
anytime.
I usually have more problems coming back, but maybe that's because, you know,
I never have problems coming
Ontario.
Back.
Ontario.
They're just like, welcome back to the USA, you know.
For me, it's like,
oh, yeah.
Maybe they don't like the look of me or the look of the friends I'm traveling with. It's like we almost always get, you know, pulled inside and asked a few questions. And I shouldn't say always. Sometimes it's pretty quick that they'll
open
just do a quick spot inspection.
Nine,
they pat, you know, pop the back
12,
hatch. On the vehicle and send us on the way.
You must be really suspicious looking.
My friend in his junk wagon's perhaps a little suspicious,
oh, okay.
But because he's a little scruffy looking and he's a long hair and I'm a no hair, but
So for us, the tricky thing is that if you getting into Canada, okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you have all your band's gear,
mm-hmm.
and you're obviously going to go play a show,
right.
That can be tricky because
yep.
then, and actually this is a quite recent thing. I mean, not too recent, but it's maybe over the past 10 years or so.
The same friend I had, I think I may have related this tale once before on Open VOIP. There was one time where I think he was in New York or something, and he was going to, you know, cross over at Buffalo and go to Canada for a while for just a, you know, slight little sightseeing tour. But when he was in New York, he was selling T-shirts. So he had a couple boxes of T-shirts in the back of his vehicle. And when he went across, they're like, no, those are commercial goods. We're not going to let you cross. He's like, okay, fine, whatever. And he goes back, and as he's, you know, basically rounding or, you know, heading back westward, he's like, well, maybe I'll try crossing over at Detroit Windsor.
Brandenburg? Oh, Detroit Windsor. Okay, that's
right.
A bit west. Okay.
And, well, yeah, because he was coming back to Chicago after New York. But So he had a bit of distance to go, but he's like, well, since I'm passing kind of the Detroit area, maybe I'll try crossing over there. And so he goes and he does that, and he's just about to be let through when it just so happens that the person that was at the border crossing in Buffalo happened to be there at the Detroit Windsor crossing, saw him,
oh.
recognized him, and they got into a rash of trouble over that.
Cool.
They got pulled aside and thoroughly questioned and detained for a number of hours.
Why are you sneaking into Canada?
Yeah, and then basically told not to come back anytime soon.
Oh.
Well, that whole thing with live bands being able to go up to play in Vancouver, it got killed for a number of years. I don't know if it's been easier now, but
well, the other issue too is
I don't know
in those cases you probably have to declare your intention.
That's right, but you need a work visa to get paid to play a show in Vancouver, unfortunately. And in the past, you could, you know, lots of bands would just go up there
just
and play.
Cross and it wouldn't matter.
Well, you
no
could do
cared.
What Paul Robeson did and play at Peace Arch.
Well, it's like when I go up to the world of Commodore, you know, you've got a van load of Commodore 8-bit stuff, and of course the question always is when we cross into Canada, it's like, are you there to sell stuff?
High value.
Like, the answer is negative.
High value.
I should tell you also, you wouldn't know this because, my husband got diagnosed with his cancer pretty much the same time that everything started to shut down in March 2020. So we were able to get across the border because I had a passport. He had a life-threatening diagnosis, and I had a letter from his oncologist. To, you know, like, this is his driver. This person is transporting him to and from his place to, you know, for cancer treatment. Most of the time when we came back, now remember, hardly anybody except commercial, huge semis and Hollywood production staff and crews were making it into Canada. Mm-hmm. But the police were always waiting for us, it seems, 80% of the time. They were waiting for us right, I guess, maybe a fifth of a mile from the border, and we'd have to open our trunk and answer questions, and
they would have just trained you. It's like, hey, this car, this open license plate, void, these people, they're here for medical treatment. It's a semi-emergency situation.
This is returning to Canada, and the U.S. Cops were like this. The U.S. border people were very chummy. I was very lucky to befriend a border person who took special interest, seeing my husband's cancer diagnosis, as she had had a mastectomy the year before. So she was very cancer sensitive.
Yeah.
And she got we got chummy and familiar. And the last time my husband was well enough for me to take him over the border, they had a new recruit manning the booth, and the new recruit didn't know anything about us and didn't care about my letter. They said, well, you know, well, you have to pull over into secondary. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? But anyway, before he made that determination, the other customs officers who, I guess, were training him were on Tobin's side, the passenger side of the car, like, hey, Tobin, how's it going? How's it going, buddy? And he had a little conversation with the Americans. And I'm the driver, and he'd get grilled by the recruit, and he'd have to pull over to secondary. And he said, oh, I'm letting you off this time, but, you know. And then we went over to the person who let's open the gate, and we're like, we don't know what the hell happened here. And they said, oh, it's a new recruit, and we're not allowed to interfere or give him guidance. We can lose our job.
I see.
But, you know, don't worry about it. We will always let you through. And I thought, oh, okay.
Man. Holy cow. Well, I think
so it's not all like sunshine and rainbows and you know, the fairy, Bambi and Thumper and the all come out and say, oh, hello, Christina and Tobin, and how is Tobin's cancer today?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they are bureaucrats with authority.
Yeah, and the border people are like, they pay us not to think, okay? We just follow orders.
Sure. Yeah, as long as they don't have quotas. I don't know if they do or not, but I think JWH is on the head called in.
Oh, really?
Oh, hello, JWH.
I think so. I heard
there were two other people. Of connects.
I heard a telltale of a police scanner.
Ah.
But maybe he dropped. I don't know. Maybe he's not there anymore. He's listening though, because he's throwing comments at us from Calm. I'm not looking at Calm, but I looked at it.
Yeah.
I will.
Looked at him long enough to know that he was.
Oh, he says Jazzmaz is suspicious. Is suspicious.
I am suspicious. Okay, I'll take your word for that.
Oh yeah, it's calling. Other parties in this conference.
Oh, there he is. Probably.
It's hard to figure out whether or not you yourself, from your own perspective, whether you're suspicious or not.
Oh, Julius is correct. If you show a U.S. passport to enter USA or a Canadian passport to enter Canada, they won't stamp it. But the guy who took away my green card, he stamped my...
Six other parties in this.
But he stamped it in the wrong spot because he was trying to be funny. You know, it's like, oh, what's the most decorative page in your passport? And I'm like, okay. And then he would pass. And he didn't even file my paperwork properly. So for months afterward, be like, when did you surrender? Did you surrender your green card? Do you still have your green card? No, you guys took it from me.
Oh, my God.
We don't see it here. And where's your stamp?
Oh,
and I had to go look and flip and like, oh, here it is. Here it is. You know, during the hockey sweater quote on page 32 where the kids were on the ice. Why wasn't it stamped near the front? Because your officer was new and thought he'd be hilarious. That's why.
So wait. Canadian passports, you know, U.S. passports have eagles and, you know, and then prairies.
We have a unicorn.
you know, quotes about, you know, struggle and building a country, and Canadian passports have quotes about hockey sweaters?
Yes, yes.
Well,
oh,
damn.
There was
a children's book called Le Chandail d'Hockey, English title, The Hockey Sweater, and it's very famous. And it was actually one of the first books that I read to my son.
Hmm.
And so he was following the Montreal Canadiens very closely. But anyway, this is all. There's, on page 32, there is a quote, and of course it's in French and English, from the hockey sweater.
Is there a page with a Canada arm?
Oh, you know, there probably is. There probably is. Maybe I'll go look. But I know there's a unicorn on the front of our passport, which is, you know, beats an eagle, I think.
Well, and the inside back cover of the U.S. passport has the Apollo 8 Earthrise photo, which makes the text printed over it somewhat difficult to read.
I think my kid took his Canadian passport because he was buying me alcohol.
I understand.
Well, he doesn't have an ID yet. You know, I keep saying, when are you going to go get your ID? And I have to drive him. Okay. I have numerous passports here. Okay, there's my old Canadian one. Oh, I know. I'm an agent. Oops, I've said too much. Bye. Abort. Click.
Oh, this call is not being traced. Don't worry. Anyways, JWH. JWH has called in. Subli has called in, but now JWH has called in, too.
Well, I
yeah.
called...
No, I'm looking at my husband's passport. So where am I supposed to look at? The on page...
Sorry.
I see the cactus.
Inside back cover, if it's a current one.
Okay. Oh, yes, there it is. I'm not going to read out the number on the back of the inside cover, but I definitely see it. Very nice.
Okay, JWH, you can talk. I'm sorry.
I called in briefly when Christy said that she had called the number, and it said that she was the only one in the conference. And I thought, well, that's odd. So I dialed the number from my landline to see if I got the same result. And it took me into the regular conference here, and I heard you guys talking. And so obviously I did not get the same result that Christy got, so I hung up. And that's when
right,
she came back and said that was she didn't dial the one first.
Oh wow! Oh
yeah. Had to dial a one.
Yeah.
So I don't know what she got that told her she was the only one in the conference. I would have expected her to get a recording saying that number, you know, it is not valid.
It sounded exactly the same thing, and I thought,
what I'm saying is the telephone system probably routed the call correctly, but the voice over IP system probably interpreted the number incorrectly or was given a number it was not expecting.
But you said you heard like the old timey telephone switch noise, right?
It was almost exactly. The only thing that was different other than dialing the one was that when I dialed the one, I heard that there were five other people and now five people in the conference. And the first time, without the one, we were like, you are the only caller here.
This reveals the existence of the secret SDF Canada voice over IP system.
Oh, whatever.
That's right. I can go talk to myself.
Yes, where you too can talk to yourself.
Wow, you have so much in common with me. Let's be friends.
Where you too can talk to the only Canadian.
Yes, a distant echo will repeat everything.
An interpreter will be with you soon.
Well, you should. This happens every day at this time for an hour, and random people call in. So you
and
should.
And about to end.
Yeah, and you should call in. Actually, there's a one in the EU time, which is in the morning Pacific time. You're welcome to call in, and this one's more active, but anywho.
Yes, it is active. Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
Hi.
It's fun, and we can have random conversations about crazy stuff.
By the way.
Yes?
Did you get my... Christy, did you get my latest letter to you?
Love letter.
Oh, I have two letters from you. I have been like really behind.
I'm only asking because I sent a letter to a friend in Germany 6 weeks ago and it still hasn't arrived.
God.
Oh.
So outgoing international mail
is not there, It is my fault because I've been going out. It's not romantic. Too bad I ended up with this fascinating conversation about it because I would have loved to have had a board.
Oh,